morning, afternoon, evening, depending on where you are. I'm taking Kay's tagline that he usually says to introduce the show. Welcome to another episode of Bed Talks. That's right, BEDTALKS. You know, Kay reminded me and our guest today again that these aren't baddie talks, but these are relaxing talks, talks to get us thinking about life, relationships, love, and, you know, some of our endeavors that we may want to achieve in our life. So thank you for joining us for another episode.
My goodness, I don't have to say anything. She took, you know, all of what I'm known to say, but thank you, Elizabeth. I mean, goodness. Anyway, let's proceed.
Yeah, sometimes I like to change it up on him. That's how we keep things fresh in our relationship. Today, we are super excited to have a special guest with us. Her Instagram page is called Toolbox for Love. And man, there are so many nuggets of information on Alexandra's page. And I think the thing that I like, especially as a relationship coach too, is that she's really about the education piece. I can tell she takes a lot of time to really teach people practical tools about what makes relationships work. So welcome to the show, Alexandra.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yes, and your full name is Alexandra Yukiko Schelling, correct? I just want to make
sure. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, because I'm fanatical about like trying to pronounce people's names correctly and not shortening them or anything. So I want to get that right. But anyway, why don't you tell people a little bit about what you do? I know you are a life and relationship coach. How did you like get here to like doing the work that you're doing today to help people?
Sure. So yeah, I'm Alex for short, life and relationship coach. I help, you know, both couples and individuals create a healthier, stable relationship. And I didn't do this before. I was in a corporate job. I was really happy with my job before. And I thought I would do that for the rest of my life, kind of the corporate world, corporate career. And I had this kind of like strong urge as I was going through challenges in my own relationship. I've now been with my partner for 13 years and we've gone through ups and downs. And I've always thought, like, why don't I learn communication skills? Why am I not learning about things that I now have learned after 10 or 11 years in the relationship? And so I started to speak to people about their challenges. People would come to me after seeing that we were, you know, together for a long time. And the more I talked to people, the more I said, like, why don't we learn these things? And so that's where, in the middle of the pandemic, I decided to leave my corporate job, go full in as a life and relationship coach, get all my certifications done for that side of things, and started my Instagram account. And that's how I grew the community now and started to educate people. That was my whole goal, is like, people need to know these things. People need to know, you know, the basics of communication, the basics of overcoming differences, how to keep the spark alive. There's so many topics, as you might know, of course, in the relationship space. And yeah, that's how it all started. So definitely not the path that I thought I was going to go in 10 years ago, but here I am. And it's been, about 2 years now, so.
Yeah, I think. So Kay will throw in his applause and his sounds.
That was amazing. That was amazing. And let me tell you why, you know, I know, you know, again, when Elizabeth, you know, introduces the guest, I just have to go back to your title of your IG page or your brand. Men out there, I want you all to understand what the title is. Tools for Love. Toolbox for Love. Now, as men, you know, we love to have our toolboxes full of, you know, different types of tools for certain challenges and, you know, certain responsibilities. But I'm very curious, where did you come up with that name? Toolbox.
It's funny it's funny you mentioned that, because I tend to overthink things a lot, but the name just is one of those things that just came to me. One day I was still at my corporate job and I said, you know what, one day I could launch something. And as you said, you know, I see like a relationship being full of tools that you can use whenever you hit, you know, the downs, for example, the lows, or a struggle or a conflict situation, that you have certain tools to feel empowered and to feel like, okay, I've got this. Like, okay, it's a challenge, but now I know what to do. And I think the word tool came to mind, and I said, okay, tool and love. And I just remember being in my apartment back in Switzerland after a long day at work, and that name just came to mind. And I remember I was still full in my corporate job, had no idea that I was going to do this. I remember buying the domain on, you know, for my website, and just being like, whatever, I'm just going to buy this and we'll see if in the future I use this. But it was, you know, almost like that you know, trusting in myself and the name, and I never ever looked back. And again, I'm an overthinker, so I usually go back on things to make sure that they're correct. And this, it was just one of those things, now that you ask, that I just remember very clearly. It just came. So I'm glad you asked, because it just reminded me of that.
And you know what? I think that I love what you say, toolbox for love, because I think men and women can relate to this, right? Like women, I know there's a product sometimes we may subscribe to, right? It's a box of goodies that come each month, and there's different things in that box that make up that box that make it valuable, the experience, right, of enjoying whatever that thing is, whether it's a self-care kit or it's a kit to help you improve some, you know, personal thing that you're working on in your life. There's usually things within that kit. For men, when they go to use their toolbox, of course, you just don't want one or two things in your toolbox, right?
No, you want to be prepared for whatever it is to fix. And that's why the term toolbox of, you know, for love, of love, really stood out with me. Because, yes, from a toolbox perspective, again, us men, we look to fix things. As a matter of fact, Elizabeth has me on task today with putting up light fixtures, okay? And these are very elegant chandelier light fixtures. I say that because if it were not for my toolbox, you know, I wouldn't be able to fix or to try to repair or resolve any of these challenges. So I just had to touch on that again.
Yeah, and just piggybacking on what, you know, Kay is saying, it takes more than one tool to put things together, right? So you could go with your hammer and your nail, but you might need some more things. You might need a screwdriver.
For those of you who do not know, Miss Alex is actually in Singapore, if I'm not mistaken. And she's, you put it like this, she's actually 12 hours behind us. So for her, it is in the PM. For us, it is the AM. Okay. So when she makes any good point, when Elizabeth makes any good point, yes, I have to give you guys an applause. And that's for all the men out here.
Thank you.
So Alex, like, as we talk about the toolbox for love, and even like you say, your journey was kind of recognizing like, man, I'm not doing this correctly, but there is a way to actually have a healthy, you know, rewarding, sustaining relationship. What are some of the things that you think should go into the toolbox when, you know, couples are trying to, for example, get through conflict? You know, what do you think is really important tools that they use in that process?
Don't say hammer.
There are a few. I could actually. No, but there are so many things that, you know, go into the toolbox. And that's always, you know, how I start even with clients. I'm like, you know, we're going to go through these, you know, a few weeks together, for example, and we're going to each week, every single call, add different tools to your toolbox. And it always depends on the context, of course, and what their goals are. But what, you know, what I always say is that love is important, but it's not enough. And usually we think that love, you know, we are in the honeymoon phase, then we, you know, have challenges, and it's always the question, what do we do there? And one of the things that I just find is such a foundational element for the toolbox, and something that I teach my clients and have, you know, has helped me a ton, is to understand my partner and understand myself better and understand the importance of how I show up as well in the relationship. There are so many blind spots that I had, so many things I didn't even understand about myself, my needs, my love languages, my communication style, and then have to do the same for my partner and say, okay, what is his way of doing things? So I think that really, you know, helped us bridge the gap between our differences, our big differences sometimes, is say, how can we better understand each other? And sometimes, you know, something that I bring up is we tend to give a lot in a relationship when we love someone, and we give and we give and we give. And sometimes people say, I'm just giving so much and I'm not receiving in return, or I'm not sure this is really going anywhere. And the point is, you have to give in the right place. You have to put your efforts in the right place. You want to give what the other person, you know, needs, let's say needs or perceives as love, for example, right? If you love someone, but they don't perceive it that way and they perceive love a different way, then you can put all of your efforts in one direction, but they might actually be needing something else. And the relationship might be super great, have a great potential, but there's that mismatch there. And so that's where we bridge the gap between your differences with a lot of understanding, communication. And yeah, I feel like that's one of the things that definitely makes a big, big difference, because you can be talking about exactly the same thing and have two very different perspectives. So it's like, okay, where do we start? Start by understanding each other. And I know that's been a huge, door that opened in my own relationship when we kept hitting the same challenges over and over again, the day we started really understanding, not just listening to respond, but actually listening to understand and showing curiosity and being like, okay, what do you need? Okay, what do you mean by that? It's a whole different dynamic, a whole different interaction. So I'd start there, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I like how you said to give in the right place, because I do hear a lot when I coach clients, and you do hear that, like, I'm giving, I'm loving this person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're doing it in such a way that's not really, I don't want to say strategic because I know that sounds very corporate, but like in a way that works for that person. And I think the best example I think about is our kids. You know, oftentimes you have children and they grow up and you can have three kids in the same family and they can have three different experiences with that one parent or those two parents. And a lot of that, I think, is because oftentimes as parents, it's very normal for us to give our kids what we think they need, right? Which is part of parenting, but also to give what we may have missed. And I think that happens in relationships too. And so when the kids grow up, they're like, I really didn't care about that. I cared more about you giving me time, right? Or you giving me space or independence, or you being more about my imagination and pushing me to be more imaginative. So it's like, I like what you're saying about you really have to dial into what your partner needs and then reciprocate based on that versus going off what you think they may need or in the way you may think you would want to, you know, be loved. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to your point, you know, these tools don't only apply for romantic relationships, but also to non-romantic ones. And a number of clients have, you know, applied the communication skills that they've learned with their partner, with their colleagues, with friends and family. And it's amazing how they shift other dynamics and not just the romantic ones. So as you just said with the kids, that's a perfect example. Yeah,
I think there's definitely carryover. Like when you learn good ways to practice good communication and to build relationships, it's just a normal carryover of it happening in your other non-romantic relationships. So it really helps you holistically once you build these best practices.
Alex, what I'm curious, I like that you went outside the spectrum of just, you know, intimate relationships. And you went, you know, on the cusp or you actually broadened what relationships or the right tools to use can mean in any type of relationship. But I'm curious, I'd love to hear, what is your definition? And it doesn't have to be the Webster's version, okay? What is your definition of a relationship?
That's a good question. You know, I define relationships as a process of co-creation because every relationship is unique. I feel like we have this vision or this image of what it should be, this expectation of what a relationship should be. But I really see a relationship as almost synonym to co-creation, because you can, you know, co-create something beautiful with someone, and you might co-create something also very amazing with maybe another person. So it's about what you create and what you build together. So I feel like it's a process, and that's how I see relationships, is to say, okay, we are two individuals. How do we bridge the gap between our differences? How do we communicate, you know, about difficult topics, and how do we nurture the relationship? But all in all, I still see this as a co-creation thing, because we don't, you know, naturally learn the skills, et cetera. So it's a process. And that's what I always say. So that's in a nutshell how I'd define it, through co-creation. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I love the term that you use, co-creation. I wouldn't have expected that answer because I didn't know what answer I would get, because it's your version, it's your definition. But yeah, co-creation, just the power of two, you know, working towards something, building something, you know. Yeah, I love that. Nice.
And I think that makes sense, because sometimes people will say, oh, that guy or woman went on and had a better relationship with someone else. And I don't think it's always that they had a better relationship. I think that maybe there was more mutual working of seeking understanding that you're talking about to co-create that relationship dynamic. And I think both people have to be vested in that process. So that could be why sometimes people, there may be friction between certain people, but that same person or those individuals may go on to other relationships and have a better dynamic with someone else, because maybe the co-creation fact is like you're saying, it's unique to those two people. They're more vested. There's more of a mutual effort, right, to make it work.
I just like the fact that it involves two people. Again, just that definition that you gave, Alex, on relationship, Well, for me, I always use the term fellowship, because fellowship involves more than just one person, you know. So I'm going to have to steal yours as well, that co-creation. I'm going to add that to the K library.
That's perfect. Sounds good.
Now, we're going to play a little bit. We're going to play around, all right? Now, Elizabeth, you know, she gets very serious about things. I'm kind of the comic, if you want to call it that, okay? Now, I want to see if you can hear this noise and tell me, what do you think these sounds are? What do those sound? What does that sound like, Miss Alex?
Maybe keys on a table or something?
You're close. This is one of our toolboxes. Now, the reason I have this toolbox is because, of course, it has a litany of tools. Now, based on your experiences, if you had to reach for your toolbox, okay, to help resolve an issue, to help fix something, repair something, what would be your go-to? What is your go-to tool, if that makes sense? Now, I have hammers in here. I have tape measures, just to give you an idea. Screwdrivers, pliers. I don't know. You may have a tool that hadn't even been created yet. Okay. What would be your go-to tool?
That's a good question.
And it could be a made-up tool.
Something and you say, sorry?
And it could be a made-up tool.
But you want like a physical tool? Or do you want me to say like something relationship-oriented?
It can be either or. Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Well, if it's relationship related, I'd go for curiosity. I feel like that's a tool that can open up a lot of doors, can fix a lot of things if you start with curiosity. That's one of them. Then I have a second one, but that's the first one that I go for.
Okay.
What's your second one? I'm curious.
Second one is accountability. Is personal accountability. And I'm saying this because, Kay, you mentioned, you know, co-creation involves two people. And I'm also seeing a lot of individuals who come, you know, for coaching, or who have taken my courses, who download my guides, like, or who even follow me and DM me. And that's where, you know, there's a lot that you can do as an individual, because that creates ripple effects in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Of course, I always say, you know, the other person also needs to be willing to put in the work. That's also a sign that, you know, if it's going to work or not, it's, you know, your willingness to work on things, for sure. But there's a lot that we can do as an individual, first of all, and take accountability for our behaviors, our reactions, that sometimes we don't see. And so that's where I would add the accountability, because sometimes we expect our partners to do the work at the same time than us, or put in the same efforts, maybe go to a coach, or maybe watch an online course, or maybe do, you know, whatever it is to keep the spark alive, or anyways, bridge the differences. But sometimes it takes one person to start making the change. And that's how I learned the tools. And it's because I took accountability for my growth and then introduced everything that I had learned, or applied them, at least, in my relationship. And that's how we grew as a couple. So,
wow.
Long story short, let's say, but that was quite a long response.
No, yeah. That's awesome.
No, I think... You're getting all kind of applause today. So yeah, this is really good advice. So I think, like, what do you feel about when, okay, say one person is taking accountability and they're applying the tools they're learning, but say your partner or your significant other is not, as time goes on, they're still not shifting with some of the things you're trying to apply to the relationship. How do you typically coach people through that scenario?
Sure. So I feel like the first step is even having the tools, because sometimes as we said before, we put in a lot of effort, but they're simply not in the right place. And that, I think, is the first step, is to become aware of, okay, what am I doing? How can I speak the language of the other person? I had this perfect example the other day with a client who was doing everything she could after a breakup. She came to me to kind of heal from her breakup and still see if there was something left with her partner. But the thing is, she realized that she was not speaking his language. So the messages didn't go through, her behaviors, you know, were very different than, anyways, it didn't really align with their relationship vision. Anyways, but I'm just going to say that, yeah, if a partner is not willing to make things work, then that's a different story. But you want to first say, okay, have I done the best that I could? Am I 100% sure that I'm communicating the best way? Do I understand my partner really well? Or have, you know, do I need to do some work there? And then if you really feel like, okay, I've really done everything, I've put in a lot of effort here, and I know that I've done everything, I've seen, you know, even external support, etc., then it's to say, do I accept that my partner might not be willing to do the work, first of all, or maybe is doing the work but differently? Sometimes they do it at a different pace. And then that's the question, like, are you willing to accept that? Because some people grow quicker than others. Some people, you know, have a different mindset around relationships. So the question is to say, first of all, what are the efforts that you're putting in? Are you 100% sure those are in the right direction, as I mentioned before? And the second piece is to say, if you're really sure, if you really are confident that you've done everything and the other person is still not showing any sign of improvement or et cetera, are you willing to accept it? Because we can't control someone's behaviors, but through our own behaviors, there's a lot that we can influence in our dynamics. If I set healthy boundaries, if I set healthy standards, my partner will maybe respect my boundaries. But if I don't, then maybe, you know, we'll have a very different interaction when we talk. So it's also the way I show up and what I set in my relationship. It could be standards, boundaries, expectations, communication, anything in that sense. So those would be the two parts that I'd see. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does.
Are you sure that it's 8 p.m. your time? Because you don't seem to be missing a beat. I mean, wow.
It's called passion.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Alex, what separates you? What would you say separates you from the rest of, you know, I guess you could say relational coaches, life coaches? What do you think is the separating component that you have compared to, you know, to others that you know of, or just others, period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I've never had that question before. So what comes to mind, and thanks for asking, it's, you know, I feel like maybe in terms of how I coach clients and my interaction with them is very action oriented. And I've seen that every single client loves this. They love seeing something practical, tangible after every session. And I've heard, unfortunately, that, you know, many of my clients have had past experiences with other experts, and I know there's so many amazing experts out there, but sometimes we have a bad experience and we kind of stop there. So, you know, my clients have had the courage to come back and to try with me, for example, and that's the biggest, you know, from their perspective, at least, and if I can share that, is the action-oriented style. Is to say, you actually listen to me, and then you provide, you know, insights. Answers come also from my clients, so it's actually sustainable. It's not like I'm giving them everything. It's to say, I'm giving you the tools, and then we're going to see how this applies to your situation. And I think the fact that it's so tangible and so actionable, that's what I hear the most from my clients, and that's what they love. Every single week, they see progress because of that action-oriented style, whereas, you know, and of course it depends on some needs. I've had clients that preferred a different expert because they needed more of the listening from a therapist, for example, to process emotions, process information. That is different. And of course, you know, always align with my clients, but that's usually the feedback that I hear, that they really want to see something. They want to see progress. They want to see that their relationship is getting better. So I'd say that that's a differentiator because of what I've heard so far. Yeah,
I think that's the joy of coaching, is that you can embed some of your personal experiences in as you're talking to clients and other client experiences in, whereas I think traditional counseling is more, like you said, the listening and emotions-based piece of it sometimes. But I think that the thing I enjoy the most is really being able to give people some practical, actionable tools, just like you're saying, that they can really use right away. And not saying that counselors don't do that, because they do, but it's just a different approach to it. So I totally.
And then it's also the person that's actually providing these action, you know, oriented, you know, exercises. Let's be real here, Alex. You know, it's not just that you are action oriented or practical with your clients, or what, you know, they've told you separates you from the rest. It's also your personality, the way that you communicate. In other words, you know, I could say something and it could be five more people that say the same thing, but depending on the delivery, you know, what I say may separate me from the rest, or vice versa. So, you know, you yourself also have to take credit for how you provide, you know, these practical matters, you know, to your clients that do separate you from the rest. So awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you, that's true.
Yeah, you definitely line up with the things that you put out there as your content as I'm listening to you. So I can see why people are drawn to you and your message and your philosophy and steps, you know, to get people there. It sounds like it's very practical and it sounds like it works. They're coming back for more. So thank you so much, you know, for joining us today. You know, where can people find out more about you? Are there any projects you want to mention that you're working on that people may have interest in?
Yeah, so you can, you know, find me on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly active and where I share, you know, regular tips, my stories, insights on relationships. And I'm currently working on something pretty big that I've been working on for more than a year. So it'll be out pretty soon this year. So definitely keep an eye on Instagram. That's where I'm going to announce it. And it will be, yeah, very tied to the toolbox concept so that you can have different tools for your relationship depending on your situation. I'm creating a whole resource around this toolbox concept so that you can actually feel empowered in your relationship and you know where to go to find answers for any challenges that come in the way. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was a great teaser. Now I'm like, what is she going to put out there? But that was good. That was good. We really appreciate you being on the show. Again, people, please go check out Alex Schelling. She's a life and relationship coach. Her IG page is Toolbox for Love. There are some great, great practical tools that you can use that are very actionable to help you to have better connection to your partner, to help you have a healthier relationship. I could tell Alex is about healthy relationships as well. They do exist. You can have them. It's just a couple of things you got to do. And just like we talked about, remember, you got to keep that toolbox full. It's just not one thing that you're doing, but a number of things. But I think the theme I heard a lot that you said today, Alex, was dialing in to your partner, right? The self-accountability piece of really communicating in a way that they can understand you. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you for this wisdom that you provided. And I will hold on to the coexisting portion of your answer, which spoke volumes. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you both so much.
All right, guys, so we are going to take off with that being our show for today. We will be back with other shows. Remember, you can also always listen to and subscribe to future episodes of the Bed Talks to the Bed Talks podcast on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify and many other platforms. Thank you for joining us. We're going to take off for now. Until next time, XOXO.